Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
Now, we're doing something different this year with our children's chat. I'm not going to have you sit right up here, but I'm going to invite kids to come sit right up here on the front pew, so that you can see what we're going to do and that you are invited forward into the scripture reading that we're going to have in just a couple of minutes. So come right over here. Get you all together here. There we go. Good. Excellent. Perfect. Doing well. Everyone's succeeding at this so far. Good work. Excellent. One more. Now, you're a little far away from the scripture reading itself, which is going to happen over at that microphone, but you are over here so that you can see through this window with the stuff in front of it and the stuff behind it. Because I want you to see out into the memorial courtyard. In the memorial courtyard, there are some columns. One of them has a plaque on it. The plaque is that lighter gray sign, and it continues down past the bottom of the screen. You just can't see it from here. And on that plaque are the names of 75 people. And those 75 people are the charter members of this congregation, the very first people who back on April 11th, 1957, joined Covenant Presbyterian Church, to be the very first people who were members of Covenant Presbyterian Church. And you don't know those people. You probably don't know, like, any of the people on that sign, but you know some of the people who have become part of this congregation that they started. In fact, one of the people whose parents' name is on that sign is here today, right back there. So here's your actual show and tell, is Byron Rippentrop. Byron's mom and dad are named on that plaque right up there. They were some of the charter members of Covenant Presbyterian Church. And these people all started a church because they loved Jesus' mission in the world. They loved what Jesus was doing in the world. And they trusted that we would come along later to help keep that mission going. I wasn't the pastor on April 11th, 1957, but thank you for asking. That was 62 and a half years ago. Not even John Severson has been ordained that long. So 62 and a half years ago, and here we still are. Now, the other reason that I want you to sit in the front row here is because I do want you to stay up here for the scripture reading, which is about to happen. So these are names from the beginning of this congregation, and our scripture reading is also about a beginning. It's a story about the beginning of humanity. Every year in the fall, we start with an origin story. And so we're going to listen to this story together. I'm going to invite you to stay up here with me until the end of the reading. And in this origin story, God creates humanity for a special purpose. So your assignment, should you choose to accept it, is to find out what the special purpose is that God created humanity for.
The scripture reading this morning is from the Old Testament, Genesis 2, chapters 4 to 7, found on pages 2 and 3 of the Old Testament in your pew Bibles. Please follow along as I read. These are the descendants of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, when no plant of the field was yet in the earth, and no herb of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no one to till the ground, but a stream would rise from the earth and water the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed the human from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the human became a living being. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east and put there the human whom God had formed. Out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. A river flows out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it divides and becomes four branches. The name of the first is Pishon. It is the one that flows around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. Bdellium and onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It is the one that flows around the whole land of Cush. The name of the third river is Tigris, which flows east of Assyria. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the human and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the human, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in that day that you eat of it, you shall die."
"Make me a servant," they sang. That's the answer to the question, why did God create humanity? The story tells us God wanted a garden, and God didn't have anybody to work the garden. So God had to create humanity. That's what we're here for. We are here to serve the earth that God loves. Now, that's one story. No one story tells the whole story. But a fundamental piece of why we are here, of what makes us human, is to serve one another and to serve this world God loves. That's always been a key factor in Covenant Presbyterian Church's identity. For those 62 and a half years, we have been self-consciously a mission church. That's an important part of who we are. We've always believed that we are not here for ourselves. We are always here for the sake of our neighbors beyond these walls. And we're learning as we continue to grow as a congregation, we're learning how to deepen our mission to include more hands-on partnership, even as we deepen our partnerships with each other. Now, if you were not here last week, and I can tell that a good number of you were not, if you were not here last week, here's your Labor Day sermon. You were created to serve. Your work is divinely blessed. Remember, that's why God created humanity. And that is to say that God blesses your work to tend communities and families and the world, including and ultimately the earth itself. And that doesn't just point to paid jobs. That points to tending the world in retirement or in families or in art or in any of the other ways that we tend this world around us. Now, I said one story can never tell the whole story. There is, of course, also blessing in rest and delight, but rest and delight are not simply about leisure. They're not simply about having enough that I never have to do anything again. Most of you who have made it through at least 10 years of retirement are able to tell us that A productive quality retirement is not simply about leisure. It's also about purpose, about continuing to live into a purpose that is shaped perhaps differently in the life that you live now, but it has to be about purpose. Leisure, on the other hand, sort of operates on that assumption that you've accumulated enough so that you can act like you don't need anything that you can't buy. And that way of trying to accumulate enough so that we can't need anything that we can't buy, well, that's what tends to despoil the earth and the human communities that, remember the story, we are created to tend and serve. Rest and delight come not from having enough, but from doing what we are called to do in service to God's earth and God's people. I'm preaching to myself as I usually am. I need to hear this. I need to hear that both work and rest are blessings, because I struggle to remember that, and I'm not even retired. I too live in this individualistic culture that tells me that I can't rest until I, that's a singular pronoun, until I have enough. And then if I go so far as to remember my role serving the earth and the world around me, that's too big. It's too big if I feel like I have to do it alone. That brings us to the second part of our scripture this morning. The second part of our scripture this morning, knowing what we are created for, remembers how we are created. We are not created to be alone, but to be in partnership with each other. You'll remember at the very end of the scripture reading, God gave that first human a rule. God said, "Now, there's these trees. You can eat from all the trees except this tree. Don't eat from this one tree." And then you can picture God sort of huddling with the angels and being like, "Okay, I just gave the human being a rule. I should probably never leave them unsupervised." And then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the human should be alone. I will make them a helper as a partner." So out of the ground, the Lord God formed every animal of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to the human to see what they would call them. And whatever the human called every living being, that was its name. The human gave names to all cattle and to the birds of the air and to every animal of the field. But for the human, there was not found a helper as a partner. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the human, and they slept. Then God took one of their ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the human, God made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of man this one was taken. Therefore a man leaves his father and his mother and clings to his wife, and they become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked, and they were not ashamed." This is the word of the Lord. Now, I'm not sure what I love most about that story. I love that the Lord decides that the human being needs a partner and isn't quite sure how to go about it. So God just creates a bunch of animals and sort of throws them at the wall to see which one will stick. I love that the Lord allows this creative space for the human to name these animals. God allows this creative space for the human to co-create the reality that naming does. God has created this universe, has brought into being this garden and this humanity to tend it. And yet God knows that God doesn't have to determine every single thing that happens. God can be creative and sovereign in ways that are more interesting than simply determining how everything should happen. And I love the human's delight at recognizing their spouse. Here at last is my equal partner. Helper, you'll remember, is not some kind of junior assistant. Helper means support and strength and companion. This story always does challenge me, because I tend to believe that I'm somehow responsible not to need help from those around me. But the passage reminds us that humanity is created intentionally to serve and support each other, to share the work of tending creation, to share the work of caring for each other. The Christian story remembers that God submits God's own self to our work of tending. When Jesus himself comes among us as a human, he comes among us filled with human needs, placed, embedded in human culture and family. God comes among us dependent on the people around him. My colleague Dave Daubert reminds us that it is needs that point us outside of ourselves and open us up to receive help from each other. It is needs that point us outside of ourselves. Because if we didn't need one another, we most likely wouldn't spend that time with each other. But it is those blessed needs that call us into community together. Today we celebrate a community that is called together. We celebrate this congregation on Covenant Sunday, and we celebrate the things that we can't do alone. No one of those 75 people with their name on the charter member's plaque could have created a congregation by themselves. No member of this choir can sing harmony by themselves. Some of them try, but they can't do it. Alone, we can't make a dent in Kevin Littleton's men's breakfast. We all have to gang up on that to even get a start on it. Alone, we can't sew hundreds of cloth diapers for our neighbors in Haiti. Alone, we can't learn nearly as much about the Ten Commandments or have nearly as much fun doing it as CPW will have together this fall. Together, we can grow and donate literally tons of food grown on this property. Together, we can build relationships with our neighbors in San Ysidro. Together, we can share the faith with generations of kids beyond our families. Together, we can become the humanity that God has created and redeemed and called us to be. So today I give thanks for all that Covenant does together and for all that God continues to create in us together. Will you pray with me? O God, you create us in relationship with each other to serve you in the world you entrust to our care. Bless the life of this congregation as we begin a new program year. Through us, bless our neighbors near and far. Through our neighbors, form us into Christ's image. In all we do, make us your servants and your beloved.
And now, a moment for mission.
I think at this time we have a moment for mission from Stacy New, talking about the East Des Moines Family Care Center.
As you guys know, the coins for concerns are for my office. That's East Des Moines Family Care Center, and obviously we're in East Des Moines. We're right across from Lutheran. And first of all, I just want to thank you for all the support that this congregation gives that clinic. It's tremendous. All the way from designing the new building we're in, so if you ever want to come and stop by and get a tour, Brassies were instrumental in designing our clinic, to the books and the PEO support and the youth book drives, and then the coins for concern, which is going to go for Reach Out and Read books. And so let me just tell you a little bit about our clinic and what Reach Out and Read is. First of all, our clinic's in East Des Moines, right across from Lutheran Hospital, and we have a very diverse population that we serve. A large amount of our people actually work downtown, and so we get people from the insurance companies and the government buildings and all of that, but we also serve East Des Moines, and East Des Moines itself is pretty diverse, and we have 70% of our clinic is either Medicaid or Medicare, and when you think of Medicare, you really think of over 65 elderly, but most of our Medicare patients are actually disabled patients. And so, unfortunately, with our health system the way it is, if you're disabled, that is a huge financial burden for you as well. And so, many of those people are on Medicare. So, we have like special scales and stuff like that to weigh wheelchairs and things like that, which cost us a lot of extra money. And so, the other things like building literacy in our kids, we try to fundraise for, and that's where you guys have been so generous, and it's so important that we help build literacy in this population, because only about 46% of our population claim another language other than English as their primary language, and 30% of our office visits require an interpreter in order to conduct that office visit. And so literacy, when your parents don't speak the language as their first language, is huge, and these kids are really behind by the time they get into preschool and kindergarten. And so we're trying to promote older siblings reading to younger kids and family members that know how to read English. We also give out a lot of the books that you guys supply us for the parents to actually practice their English, you know, because they can't pick up a chapter book and start. They have to start with early learning books as well, even though they're literate in their own language. Many of our patients actually don't have money to give presents, and so around Christmas time and holidays, this is a huge time. They take our books, wrap them up, give them to their kids and their families as presents, so they have something to give out. And so we use these books for a number of things, all to promote literacy in our kids. One thing that Reach Out and Read, I'm not sure if everybody's familiar with that, but there's different chapters of Reach Out and Read across. It's a national program that the American Academy of Pediatrics supports. And Iowa has their own chapter. And they help, negotiate with Scholastic Books so we can get books at a discounted rate. And so the coins for concern that we collect each for this month will actually be going to buy those Scholastic books. And they have a set like library we have to choose from because they're at certain reading levels, and they tell us which books to give out at what ages so that they're appropriate. And so the coins for concerns actually goes through that program, and we get them at a huge discount. So it's more beneficial for us to order through them than to have you buy the books, because we get them for like a quarter a piece instead of buying the books themselves. So they also promote literacy in poverty-stricken areas. So our clinic is one of their projects that they help support. And not only do the books help support literacy, but they also give them a language to express emotions. And if you think of how important that is, and how frustrating it is if your parents are speaking another language and you don't even have the words to help express your frustration or your happiness. So these books do a lot of education around our cultural norms and give them language as well. And the Reach Out and Read, that's why it's so strict in what books we can choose for what ages, is because it's not just to promote literacy, but it's to promote social behaviors and things like that as well. And so I just want to thank you for all the support you guys give us, and especially for the Coins for Concern, so we can keep this program going. Thanks.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.